Hello everyone, I'm Margot Coatsworth and welcome to Ask Margot, our fortnightly show where we get to the heart of the questions on your mind, the things that might be keeping you stuck in life. A quick introduction about me. On each show, I share a little bit of what has brought me to hosting this show. Today, I'm going to cover words and how incredibly powerful they are in influencing how our lives pan out. I've written a number of books on the transformational power of positive words, and I continue to be completely passionate about choosing the words we use to talk to ourselves and about ourselves. That is, to tell the story of our life. Some people say, take care with the words you use because the universe doesn't register don't or won't and just gets the words that are attached to them. For example, I don't want to be struggling. These people say that all the universe hears is struggling, so that's what it delivers. I'm not sure this is entirely correct, as the universe is the source of everything and therefore smarter than Jack. But let's for a minute put our reservations aside and think of a simple example of how powerful our words are. I want you to picture a child and imagine the parent says to it, "You always get that wrong. I don't know why you're so dumb." God forbid, but parents do say that trash to their children. Imagine you are that child. Imagine what that's going to make you feel about yourself. I'm dumb and I always get it wrong. Do you see how awful that feels? That can establish a subconscious program for life for that person. Now I want you to try this. The same situation, the same child and parent, but this time the parent says, "You'll get that right next time because you are the smartest boy I know." Now be that child. How does that make you feel? And what does it make you believe about yourself? Yes, it makes you believe you can do it, whatever it is, and that you are capable and special. That's the power of positive words, the words we choose. Words are gifts we can give to ourselves and to others. So that's my intro for the day. Let's get on to your questions. I'm Emily. My question is about always feeling like I can never quite catch up with all I have to do. Work, family, extended family, household stuff, friends. I feel exhausted all the time and I find it so hard to relax because there are always a million things I should be doing. I just don't know how to get on top of it. It makes me feel like I'm failing. Where do I start to manage better so I feel like I'm actually enjoying my life? Well, I think all of us will be able to relate to what you're saying, Emily. Women especially feel they are juggling many roles and all of them are important. So here's what I suggest. Firstly, acknowledge what an important and great job you are doing. Stop everything and look in the mirror. Now tell yourself how great you are at all the things you accomplish. Congratulate yourself. Do your spirits lift as you do this? That's a great start. You can do that every time you look in a mirror. Oprah does it. She walks past herself and talks to her reflection, says, "Good on you, you're doing fabulously." Say that to yourself, Emily. "Good on you, Emily. You're doing fabulously, Emily. You're the bomb, Emily." You could even say it out loud so the people around you can hear it too. That'll get them paying attention. Secondly, now that you've explained what's bothering you, you must decide that you won't speak about it like that again. You're going to begin to tell a different story. Try this as an experiment. Make it a game. You will no longer say you're not coping. You will no longer say you're exhausted. You won't say you've got too much to do. Now, don't get annoyed with me with this because I know it seems ridiculous. Just go with me for a minute. You are now only and always going to speak of yourself as someone who has incredible coping skills, enormous energy, free time, and that your life is in perfect balance. You will also tell yourself that you have the most amazing discernment, and this enables you to prioritize fabulously. You're able to do what's needed and necessary with ease and efficiency, and you're able to completely let go and ignore anything that fills your life with unwanted stuff that doesn't serve you and just puts pressure on you. Now, this may mean activities, or it may even mean people who contribute nothing and who take up your time and energy. This does not include your immediate family, although you might like it to sometimes. If they should be standing on their own 2 feet, and then perhaps it's time to apply a bit of tough love. Start with how you think and how you talk about yourself. I cope fabulously. I'm a great prioritizer. I don't waste my time on things that don't matter to me. Can you feel the power in those words? I am identifies you, so choose what you want to add to that. I am coping brilliantly. I am in control. Choose those words. Right, so that's your thinking taken care of. Now we're going to look at some practical things for you. If you do all the housework and it's not fairly shared, then have a family powwow and delegate. If there's resistance, you can tell them that the duties can be switched around each month. That will silence the person who says they don't want to take out the rubbish or fold the washing. Be immovable and say there's no question that they're going to be stepping up to help you more. Threaten a meltdown if you don't get the support. You don't actually have to define what a meltdown might entail as long as they know it will be most undesirable. And with my family, I always offered a schmacko as a treat. We never did identify what a schmacko was for people, as I think it's actually a dog treat. But those ads offering a schmacko always worked. Those dogs were always thrilled to bits and did exactly what they were asked. Next, you'll decide on some me time. You'll have an afternoon or an evening off to do whatever you please without anyone requiring anything of you. You can put your feet up, read a book, go shopping, play music loudly, eat chocolate, whatever you want. Your family can eat takeaways or just cook themselves. Make it sacred and untouchable time. Tell your family you require their support in this for your mental health and well-being. If it's impossible to do this at home, organise to go to a friend's or to go to a cafe once a week. You can make a reciprocal arrangement if you need to. Swap it with your partner, say, this is my time. If you want to have some time, you do that as well. But make sure you get yours, because you're going to be on duty anyway the rest of the time. Next, you might have to be a bit tough about how much time you allocate to things. If, for example, I have a number of people I need to connect with or do something for, I'll set it up, put it on the calendar. Family calendars are great. If it's on the calendar, it's in stone and it's happening. This is my philosophy. If it's not on the calendar, too bad. Then you can tick it off and forget about it. Even if you book it in a month or two ahead, see Auntie so-and-so or drop something off to so-and-so, that's fine. You've dealt with it and you can dismiss it from your mind so it doesn't add pressure to your to-do list. It's very satisfying. I once read something that said, if you can do a job in 2 minutes, then do it immediately. Don't put it on your list. Reply to an invitation, put the rubbish out, forward a recipe. Any small thing that takes just a couple of minutes, do it in the moment, and then it never has to go onto your list. Well, that's some practical and some important mind matters, Emily. Even if you do nothing differently except speak to and about yourself differently, you'll see change. As that change shifts you, in the practical outworking will then happen organically, because you will no longer be the person who sees yourself as pressured and tired. You can't think one thing and be another. The mind can't hold conflicting beliefs. Best wishes, Emily, for moving forward and taking back your control. Our second question today is, hi, I'm Robert, and I have an issue with someone who did me wrong. I've tried to let it go and forgive her, but I can't seem to get rid of this nagging residual anger. And no matter how I've tried to forgive her, I just can't. In my mind, she doesn't deserve forgiveness, and though I want to let it go, it always pops up and really gets my back up. I've forgiven other things and other people, but this one, no, I can't do it. What do you suggest? I think, Robert, that we often believe forgiveness is for the other person, but actually it's for us. I see it a bit like giving. People think that if they give from what they have, then they will have less and be somehow poorer for it. But there's a whole other level to giving when the giver realizes that the benefit is actually as much for them as it is for the person they're helping or giving to. Maybe we'll expand on that another day. Forgiveness is the same. It benefits you primarily because it shifts your state, your thinking, and the way you feel. It releases you and not just the other person. The most enlightened way to look at forgiveness is to realize that whether the person deserves forgiveness or not is not your responsibility. People often say, oh, I want so-and-so to realize and to apologize and to, but you can't make people do that. We are not here to judge each other, although sometimes the entire world seems preoccupied with that particular activity. So, with your question, we'll just be focusing on you, on your desire to forgive and how to do it, despite wherever the other person is at. Firstly, you must stop dwelling on the evil thing. You must not give it any more airtime. That's any more of your precious attention. What you focus on increases and is drawn to you, so shift your focus from what you can't forgive. You could do a little exercise to highlight that person's good qualities. Every time the unforgivable thing pops up, you could say to yourself, she was a good friend in a time of need, or she always has a positive attitude about X, or she introduced me to so-and-so, which proved very helpful with my business or my garden or whatever. If you get really stuck, then just say, she really suits the colour green, suits those pointy shoes, or whatever. It doesn't really matter what the thing is that you decide to focus on. It just must be positive because it shifts your state from feeling cross to feeling generous. And that's good for you. Bitterness and unforgiveness that you retain, listen to me now, settles itself in you and affects you not just mentally and emotionally, but physically. Thoughts become things, and yucky stuff can hatch into a physical condition. People write entire books on this stuff. We are creators in our own lives, and it all begins in our mind. One very cool way to change your attitude to someone is called Ho'oponopono. It's Hawaiian, and you can look it up. Ho'oponopono. Joe Vitale is an American-Italian writer, and he's written a book about it. It's interesting. It's quite radical for how we normally approach problematic matters, which is often to blame the other person. Ho'oponopono asks you to kind of associate with the problem, and that can be hard for us. But you realize it's in your world, and therefore you are somehow energetically a part of its appearance. Don't focus too much on that because it might take you down a bit of a rabbit hole. But the thinking behind Ho'oponopono is that you say these four things to the person or situation. 1, I'm sorry. 2, please forgive me, whether it was your fault or not. 3, thank you. And 4, I love you. That's the big love, like agape love or world love. Now, saying all that might feel like it's too much of an ask, but remember, this is all about doing what's going to be great for you, and the side benefit will be that you will set that other person free energetically. I've used this practice a lot, and it's very soothing and releasing, and it makes you pull back from getting on a roll when something doesn't make you feel happy. The more you say those four things to yourself over the situation, the more your intention will kick in and these words will act as a kind of salve over the issue. Don't dismiss this till you've tried it, and I know you want to. So when you try it, you'll see that it makes you feel better and it allows you to let it go. They say love conquers all, and this is all about that. So shall we recap, Robert? Remember, forgiveness is for your benefit and your health. Flip your focus from the evil thing to the good qualities. Any good quality will do. So you can't talk about it anymore. ho'oponopono it until you realize that you have let go and forgiven it. If there are other people out there with issues that have kept you in this kind of place, try this approach. Let us know how it works for you. I'd just like to say one thing at this point, and that is that no one in the history of the world ever came to this earth to be a judge of others. This is not a designated thing. It's not our job. It's not our right, and it's not our business. But we see it everywhere, and we need to stamp it out, starting with ourselves, of course. I'm not talking about a judge in the legal system. I'm talking about minding our own business, being our own judge of ourselves and not the judge of other people. We just have to stop it. Okay, that's all I've got to say about that. But just think how nice we'd be to each other if we didn't judge each other. It would make for a very cool world indeed. Now, our next question, number 3 today, is from Julie. I'm Julie, and I'm not really sure if my weight is normal or if I'm overweight. Most of the people around me are the same sort of size as me, so it's kind of clubby, and we make jokes about it. But underneath, I wonder, because we're young and we're pretty, and it seems kind of a shame not to have much of a waist. What do you think, Margot? I hear you, Julie. Most of us have had some time in our lives where we've had to address our weight and think about our relationship with food. By way of answering your question, I'm going to ask you some questions that will help you assess for yourself where you are with your weight. When you answer these 5 questions, you'll know clearly whether you have something to change or not. You might need a piece of paper for this, or you could use your phone, because who has paper anymore? So I'm going to ask you 5 questions, and you can choose A, B, or C, whichever applies to you. Question 1. How would you describe your current relationship with food? A. I struggle with emotional eating and have difficulty controlling my food cravings. I sometimes binge. B. My approach to eating and making healthy choices is up and down. It's not consistent. C. I have a good understanding of nutrition and I maintain a healthy diet consistently. Question 2. What's your typical level of physical activity? A. I have a sedentary lifestyle and I find it challenging to incorporate regular exercise into my routine. I'm a bit of a couch potato. B. I engage in moderate exercise occasionally, but not consistently. C. I lead an active lifestyle and regularly participate in physical activities or exercise routines. Question 3. How do you feel about your body image? A. Not good. I have a negative body image and I often feel self-conscious about my appearance. B. I have mixed feelings about my body image. It could be better. C. I have a body image that's positive and I feel confident and comfortable in my own skin. Question 4. What are your primary reasons for wanting to live at your perceived ideal weight? A. I really need to improve my overall health and reduce the risk of weight-related health issues. I don't feel that good about myself. B. I'd like more energy and to be fitter. I want to feel better about myself when I look in the mirror. C. My self-esteem, my body confidence, and overall well-being are pretty high. And the last question. Have you tried other weight loss programs or diets in the past? A. Yes, I've tried multiple programs or diets, but I've struggled and never maintained long-term success. It feels impossible to get where I want to be. B. I've tried a few programs or diets, but even if I lose weight a bit, it doesn't stay off. C. No, I've not felt I needed to do any specific weight loss programs or diets. Okay. Have a look at your responses. If you've ticked mostly C, you're doing well and probably don't need any help at all. If you've ticked mostly B, you would benefit from a reset, and that means mentally and subconsciously, and some help probably practically. If you ticked mostly A, then you would benefit from radically addressing your weight because it affects your health and your total well-being. So I hope that helps to clarify whether you feel you need to do anything about your weight, Julie. Remember, only you need to be happy about your weight. You get to choose what size and shape you want to be. It's nothing to do with anybody else. If you need some more guidance, and if the diets and efforts you've made in the past haven't helped, you can always send me a note and I can email you some great ideas of how to make progress. That's at margo@margounlimited.com. Lastly, and really most importantly, remember the value of you as a person has nothing whatsoever to do with your size or shape. Thank you for your question. Now, the last of our questions today is from Josephine. Josephine says, I've got a friend whose life is just a mess. She wants someone to step in and fix it for her. She says people who are supposed to know how to help just don't. She says she's tried to getting people to help in her life to step up and do more, but she always seems to be waiting for people to do what they say. They are supposed to be the ones to help, and there never seems to be any action behind what they say. She wants more support. She thinks the system or the government somehow should be supporting her life or owes her something. I just don't know what to say to her. Can you suggest something, because I'm getting a bit tired of it? I think I can, Josephine. This may require a bit of tough love. Here's the definition of tough love. Promotion of a person's welfare by enforcing certain constraints on them or requiring them to take responsibility for their actions. There was actually another bit in the definition that said, especially addicts, children and criminals. But I'm just addressing this concept to all of us, so I left that part out. The point I want to make is that we must take responsibility for ourselves. So this message is for all of us, really. I fully acknowledge that at some point in our lives, all of us need a shoulder to lean on or a support person. We do have a duty of care for each other, and we must do that. We must help where we can, encourage all the time. But sometimes I'd like to give people a bit of a slap, figuratively, of course, because I can see that they're not taking responsibility for themselves. One day I'm going to tell you about slap therapy, perhaps next week. They're looking outside themselves for answers, and then they're looking for some way and someone other than themselves to implement those answers. It won't happen. That's not the way the world works. I think we need to start saying, you do it, to ourselves, or that other famous tagline, just do it. We must stop indulging ourselves and thinking how tragic our lives are. Compared to many others, they are not tragic at all, and we should stop calling them so. I have a friend who likes to list all the things that have gone wrong in their life from beginning to end. On and on about it. This makes a person most unappealing company, and frankly it keeps them stuck where they don't want to be. I could join in and probably beat them at their own game if I was looking for all the stuff in my life that appears to have gone wrong, but I choose not to see my life like that, or the world. You have the privilege of choosing how you approach life, how you see yourself and others, so why make a shabby, miserable choice? Stop that immediately. Your choices infuse everything in your life, in the sphere you live in, and quite possibly, according to the butterfly effect, the entire world. So give yourself a break. Choose good, elevated thoughts. Choose the best and not the worst. Choose life, laughter, love. Choose to step up and take responsibility for your life in every aspect. Choose to be fabulous and consider that other people might quite possibly be fabulous too. That's not too tough, is it? If you can encourage your friend to take responsibility for herself, for more of the things in her life, she will find the feedback she gets from life will be more of what she wants. Life's a boomerang. If you think need, you'll attract more need. If you think you're being let down, you'll get more of being let down. Don't look from where you are to where you want to be. Get into the feeling and the emotion of already being there and having what you want. I hope that's of help, Josephine. I know I'm talking to you and I can't help your friend by remote, but this is a message for all of us. And I hope you can take some of these ideas to help her to pick up her game a little bit, to divert her attention from the negative into something more proactive. And if not, maybe you need to consider reducing your time with her. If she's not really on the same page as you and dealing with the same values. If you need more help, there are free resources on my website. Remember, there's always help available and there's always an answer. Never feel you're backed into a corner with nowhere to go. I think that's one of the biggest things we need as people, is to know we'll have support and we'll be able to find answers to things that bother us. Thank you very much for your company today. Don't forget to send your questions either to admin@coastaccessradio.org.nz or directly to me, margo@margounlimited.com. Lastly, we're going to have our message from the universe for today. I deliver one of these messages at the end of each Ask Margo session. I call these messages the word. Because this is written down and you can't hear that when I'm speaking to you, I just want to explain in this one, there is the word carefree, one word, and in this message it means light-hearted. And there's also carefree, which is two words, which means free of care or worry. So here's the message, and thank you again for being here. You are designed for a carefree life. Carefree and carefree. Why on earth would you come here to play in this life any other way? No. Lighten up. Let go. Release. Forgive. Even forget a little bit. Pull back and imagine you are looking on, not being entrapped by. Be the eternal observer in your life. Set yourself free. Thank you.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.org.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.